You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
p.m. on the East Coast in New York, ZenLive.tv. This is, quite frankly, we're kicking off another Monday. Another Monday. We're going to jump right into it because this has been like, it's been fighting its way out of me all weekend. Been trying to find ways to keep myself calm. I almost left through my computer on Sunday when I got a couple of messages on Tumblr and all that stuff discussing, you know, and I haven't even said anything about Colin Kaepernick yet. I just said that we're going to talk about him on the air. I said I was going to rip into it. And well, we'll get around to that later because, you know, the internet is full of crazy assholes. You all know that, but doesn't matter. Let's get on to this real quick because I want it out of my system and I want to move on. We got better things to do tonight. Like, we have to talk about this oldest man in the world that was found. He's like 145 years old, and all he wants to do is die. I think that's admirable. I want to get to that point when I'm completely unafraid of death, where I'm just like, can it please just happen? Because every day so far is just like, you know, when is it going to happen? Is it, you know, what's going to happen? Is it going to hurt? Is, you know, am I going to hell? Is there a hell? You know, it's not so much... I think, and you know, I had written it to myself in a journal somewhere. It was weird because I found myself an old journal tonight, and I opened it up to the first page, and I don't even know when I read this, when I wrote this. And one of the first things I said to myself in this journal was, I haven't gotten a physical in over 2 years, and at that, and it's been like maybe 3 years since my last physical, so that was probably a year ago. I just don't remember this. And I said to myself in this journal, I haven't had a physical in over 2 years, and I don't know if I am afraid of death more than I am afraid of just bad news. And I think it's just the bad news thing. And that would explain all the bad problems, all the problems I've had taking standardized tests in my life and, you know, getting just blood tested and all that stuff. No matter what it is, even when you're in college and you do all the STD stuff and shit like that, you just go and do it. And it's not that you really think that you're sick, but it's anticipatory. It's like white coat syndrome. You go in there and you feel like, you know, 3 days before, you know that you're healthy as an ox. And the day before your physical, you are diagnosing yourself with pretty much every terrible disease there is. Every last one there is. Every hiccup you had, it's cancer. Every hiccup is cancer. This, at least with me, it is. I don't know about you guys, but you can call in and tell me all of your hypochondriac woes later on. But in either case, Colin Kaepernick, let's get to the bottom of this, okay? So Colin Kaepernick is all of a sudden Nelson Mandela for sitting out the national anthem in protest over half-truths and false narratives. Not only that, the media and individuals on the left who just love swimming in this sea of self-expression, self-expression. Of course, we're starting to learn very, very quickly, and I don't care how you live your life. It does not matter. In fact, if you are truly a liberal person in the classical sense, then you want everybody to be able to live their lives exactly the way they want, as long as they're not physically harming anybody or committing any kind of theft or anything like that. Any kind of violent act or use of force against another another unconsenting person, place, a scam, you know what a crime is. You know what a crime is when somebody is forced into a disadvantageous position. You know what it is. Other than that, if you're classically liberal, you want people to just do their thing. Do their thing and keep government out of everything. Because all government is force. That's all it is. So I'm not your typical ANCAP or anything like that, but I'm definitely a minarchist, a constitutionalist, and I love the principles that we were founded on. Not the principles that we are being run on right now. We're actually pretty lawless. We have a lack of principle right now. But in either case, this whole self-expression thing, well, he has the right to self-expression. Of course, the expression that is championed here and the expression that is most held up and protected these days is that of anti-Americanism. That's the only thing. If you're unbiased, you're sitting back and you're looking at what's going on, then you have to be able to see this. Okay? If you wanted to wear an American flag on Cinco de Mayo in California, you're going to have a bad time. Because we all know that those have been banned in many schools in California and around the country. There were actually some schools have just had the American flag banned from waving American flags at their football games in case because it might be threatening or intimidating to rivals who might be Hispanic, which is beyond me. That's beyond me. What are you intimidating? The American flag? What the fuck are you talking about? So if you want to wear an American flag on an American high school somewhere on the left coast, bad luck. If you are one of the people out there who want to assert that boys can't be girls just by simply wishing it, like Pinocchio, then you'll probably lose your job, you'll probably lose your reputation, and you'll probably be placed on some kind of terrorist watch list. That's just the truth. And what did Voltaire say? If you want to know who rules over you, look at who you can't criticize. So it's not so much that, at least me, I've ever questioned Colin Kaepernick's ability and natural right, not a constitutional right. The Constitution did not give him the right to be able to express himself in any way, shape, or form. The Constitution is philosophically grounded in natural law, unalienable rights. Rights that cannot be given to you by men. Because by being born into this world, you are a free person. This goes beyond any kind of religious grounding, although we know that the country's founding had a pretty deep basis in Judeo-Christian law, which, you know, I don't really hold myself to, but it's pretty good tenets to live by, if you think about it, non-aggressions. And this is the thing that's really bothering me, because self-expression for some, if you quirk a brow at what somebody's expressing, especially if it's anti-Americanism, then you somehow are the tyrant. And if you express anything, oh my God, take cover. Take cover. That's the thing that gets me. And that's my problem with this, and it isn't an exaggeration at all. I am not exaggerating at all. So now, if you want to talk about the overall number, see, Colin Kaepernick is out there. He's saying all the right things. He's involved in the gimmick. Okay, he's all the Black Lives Matter talking points. He's right there with them. All of the very far left progressive talking points. Remember, there's a difference between progressives and Democrats. Progressivism has infected both parties. But there's not two parties anymore, as we all know. It is an autocratic system. So if you're going to talk about the overall number of people being shot by police in a country of 320 million people, then you're going to have to do a few things. Number one, you're going to have to examine quite a few individual cases. The reason for the dispatch, the armed or unarmed, the violent, non-violent crimes, especially looking at the evidence. You know, we look at these couple of high-profile, media-anointed cases that cross our path every couple of months, and what do you have here? People that are saying what happened before we even have the facts, when the facts do come out and they contradict the first conclusions that were jumped to, then all of a sudden it's a broken justice system. You see, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy when you're being led around by the tail by a press that is not free, that is completely controlled by the political apparatus that we have seen in the last couple of months. I mean, especially if you're a Democrat voter right now, I'm sorry, I don't care any of the rationalizing you've already done. Your party's a sham. It just was exposed for disenfranchising their entire base and rigging an election so that a vast majority of the people who turned out to vote were not heard, and the candidate that was always supposed to be getting the nomination was given the nomination. You were taken for a ride. You were given false hope. You donated to a cause that was doomed from the beginning, all you Sanders fans out there, and you're still sticking with them and rationalizing. That's Stockholm Syndrome. You're being held captive, and you're talking about why. Oh, well, we have to think about why they're doing this and why we have, you know, the why we need to be taken for a ride, why we need to be abused and ignored. Well, it's all for a good reason, because Donald Trump tweets very mean things. And our candidate, who actually has killed people before. You see how sick that is? Well, let's get away from that. We have to stick to Colin Kaepernick. And then, of course, the second thing you need to do when you're looking at the relationship between police and the citizens is examine the laws in the book and make estimations on those laws' impact. Is it doing more good than harm? Is it doing more harm than good? Oh, nobody does any of that. But now, who out there has the time to do all of it? Not very many people. But that's probably a good reason why to, number one, let affected communities take care of their own business and stop projecting your bullshit from across the country. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago on air, too, how I feel like people who live in communities that are well-kept, that have good relations, that there's no problems, because the media is so manipulative in painting how bad the world is out there, especially domestically, you believe and you start diagnosing problems where there are none. Because here you are in Westchester, New York, which is a pretty safe place to be. Okay, in a pretty integrated place, and a pretty even, it's expensive as all shit. Not very many people can get on over here very well. Doesn't matter what your race. But if you're exposed to this shit on a daily basis, and you look at Ferguson, and you look at Baltimore, you look at all these places that have been shoved down your throats, you start projecting as if that is everywhere. And you start looking for it in places that it never was before. And just like Alexander Pope says, all is yellow to the jaundiced eye. You start looking at life through a certain lens, and boom, there you go. Self-fulfilling prophecies everywhere. It's definitely a part of it, 100%. But you have dupes like Colin Kaepernick that go up there and take part of the gimmick, the activism gimmick that's going on right now. He's not part of an awakened group. The whole stay woke shit is just a hashtag. There's no awakened people in that hashtag. Get the fuck out of here. Don't bother me with that shit, stay woke. Nobody's woke. Nobody. They've been given their marching orders and their talking points. And when they're challenged with facts, cold hard facts, it's like a slap in the face. It's like a burning, searing hot poker to the gut. You can't get there. So here's the other thing. The other thing is, yeah, everybody has to stop watching the news altogether. It's pretty much tied into what I just said before. If we had a free press, you'd be able to rely on your local, county, state, and regional reporters to give you the facts straight. That's number one. And unbiasedly outline what is going on so that all the responsible parties have the facts straight, and they give you that. Okay, they tell you what's going on when in certain sorts of crime trends, and hold everybody accountable. But the media has devolved into something else. It's devolved into a heap of hive mind opinion pieces written by activist hacks. And the funny thing is that it's been polled now that about 6% of people trust the mainstream media. That's about 6 or 7 percentage points less than they trust Congress, which is a pretty impressive feat. That's pretty impressive to be trusted less than the United States Congress. But still, even though there is an unbelievable amount of distrust with the media, they gobble up these race narratives. And it's turning people into completely intolerable monsters. People are disowning friends and family. And they're becoming a little bit more close and attached to people they've never met in their lives than they are people they've known their entire lives. It's putting strain on everything. And it's turned this election, which was already doomed from the get-go, into one of the most obscene things I've ever seen. And I've watched my fair share of porn. So they don't trust media, but they trust these hacks and somehow believe that all these hacks, including the president, his administration, and their surrogates, and not only the media, but entertainment. That's the big one there. The surrogates and entertainment, that's what get them. But however, people like Colin Kaepernick and Black Lives Matter don't seem to care about the overall. They look at the disproportionate number of deaths by police officers in poor black communities with no context. Are those deaths disproportionate compared to whites, even though whites are killed in, I think, more than two times the numbers of blacks year-round with the police? Yes, considering that blacks in this country comprise about 13% of the population. But to look at that disproportionate number with no context is just as poisonous as anything else. Because there's a lot there, and there's a reason why we look at those numbers and identify disproportionality without context. There's a reason. Because you have to look at the people who are trying to make this into a political issue. And it spells itself out perfectly. So they look at all this stuff with no context, and in turn, they craft self-segregation, reparation-based, and communist demand-based narratives. Okay, so all of a sudden, 50 years of progress in our society has been wiped away, and you see a lot of college campus movements right now talking about self-segregation, safe spaces, no whites allowed in this club, blacks only over here, people of color over here only. And you start thinking to yourself, like, wow. So all the people who marched to Selma, people who walked lockstep with each other, arm in arm, black and white, in a true equality movement that was based on reconciliation and removing the constraints that were imposed on people and enforced by government, to remove those restraints and say, okay, everybody, now you all have a fair shake. Now you all have a fair opportunity. Now there's nothing actually systematically there in your way. All of that has been turned around, and now the people who once used to campaign for this type of stuff are segregating themselves. The pendulum has swung so far back in the other way, it's unbelievable. And nobody catches the irony of it. You just sit around, you're like, are you serious? Is everybody really serious? Oh, yes, they are. They're serious. And they do that so the simplest of all people can understand that very simple line. We've been wronged, and we need to be paid for it. We've been wronged, and we need to be paid for it. You turn somebody into a victim, you take away all of their power. What is a victim? It's a person who has no power. That is the definition of victimhood. Someone who has no power. And can you imagine what that does to a person to sell that? Now, if you're part of somebody who, if you're a community organizer or a leader who actually wants to take people up and bring people up and show them their power as an individual, power as a creative individual, as an ambitious individual, someone who is full of a wide gamut of human emotions and can apply that in everyday scenarios and just be human. What kind of a person leads not with strength, but with first selling people to a cause by saying, you have no power and this is why. Oh my God, it's terrible. And you know what? I don't even want to go into all of these numbers. We can get into all the stats you want, and there's plenty of them. Really rough numbers on the ears, but we don't have to get into those. All the HeyJackass.com websites, we know where all the crime statistics are and what's going on. But here we go, and the big thing is responsibility. Where is responsibility not being taken? But my real question is this. Do people like Colin Kaepernick take the time out from throwing footballs to weigh out how all this happened? How all of this poverty and all of this violence came to be? I'd say not. And how racist is it? Now, I have something over here I want to show you, too. This is an example. And it comes out and it slips out in very unconscious ways. And even in media, it slips out. So let me get a screen capture going. Hold on a second. So, my question. Do people like Colin Kaepernick take the time out from throwing footballs to weigh out how all of this injustice that he obviously, like we said before, is only focusing in on one little thing with no context? One big problem with no context, which is just as bad as one little thing with no context. And I'd say not. And how racist is it for especially pro-black organizations and movements to hide their faults and rationalize bad behavior instead of holding themselves to higher standards where it should be, where it's needed? Wouldn't that be the only real way to elevate portions of poor? And stress once again, everything needs, since we're walking on eggshells every day, we need to keep disclaiming portions of a whole who are downtrodden in some way. If you ask me, it's one of the most self-loathing, racist things you can do to ignore and rationalize and deflect. And here's an example of it from CNN's Ashley Killo. She said, listen to this. This is one, I had to take a shot of this. This is a headline. Trump wants GOP to court black voters and then slams voting rights for felons. Like, was anybody there over her shoulder saying, Ashley, not all black people are felons, Ashley. You see how this shit comes out? That is sicker. That is a lot more sick to me than being able to discuss all of the aspects of a problem. Because like we said before, when somebody sits down at a table and they say they have a grievance and they are really, really sick and tired of anguish and the pain, and everybody at the table has something to gripe about, and there's a real will to move on from something and to make a stride forward, to have some kind of a reconciliation or start a new, walk together in a different direction. There's no way to clean up the past, but there's a way to say we can't perpetuate this anymore. If somebody really wants to do that, especially if it's between two parties or more, all the parties at the table need to acknowledge two things. They have to, number one, acknowledge the pain that the situation has given them, what it has cost them emotionally, physically, on a historical level, whatever the hell it is, everything needs to be put out there. People need to say how they feel. The second thing that needs to happen in any kind of a situation where people get together and want to really reconcile and make a real change is they need to admit and take responsibility for all of their faults. Everything, all the cards have to be on the table. Everybody has to do it, both sides. And both sides, there's a lot on the table for both sides to do. And I think when you have parties, and it becomes stalemate opportunity. It becomes stalemates at times. It really does. Nope. When you have parties, either one, both sides, one or the other, doesn't matter, that only want to be told how it's going to be made right for them and not take any responsibility and play 100% to the victimhood card of that, it's never, ever going to end. Even if the other side kowtows. And what you see in society now, not only just for what we talk about with, you know, police brutality and all that, let's go to any of the hot button issues that social justice warriors take up, whether it comes down to sexuality or gender issues, the whole war on women thing, no matter what the narrative is, where there is one side laying claim to something and not yielding in any of their wrongs, the stronger side always wins out. And that's what's happening now. There's a lot of bending backwards so that people aren't called racist or sexist or misogynist or xenophobic or this and that. And what does that really do but embolden those who are absolutely out of their minds and ask for more and more? Because they're not coming from a place of I want to reconcile. It happens in your personal lives too. And what did we say before as well? Microcosm, macrocosm. Micro, macro. Interpersonal relationships. Everything that happens in your personal lives, whether it be with friends, lovers, parents, whatever the hell it is, just expand that on the larger level and you'll have all of the reasons why anything happens in society. Why people fight, why somebody's not saying sorry. You know what spite is like. Human nature doesn't change because it goes from 1-on-1 to 15-on-15 or 15,000-on-15,000. Everything comes back to human problems. It's all the same goddamn thing. And I think the real attention, the real reason why attention needs to be fine focused on certain talking points and not the overall and what everybody has at stake there and what everybody's responsible for is because the government is to blame for so much of the cultural decay we see in poor communities, which affect people of all colors. But once again, another one of those situations where blacks are disproportionately affected. And since the proposed solution is always more government, because if you look at all the demands, the only way it could ever be delivered is through the worst kind of government that has ever been formed on the planet. And since the proposed solution is always more government, you can't really bring the last few generations of progressive government programs under the microscope now, can you? That might actually lead way too many people that are, you know, way too many people for comfort to put two and two together. You can't talk about how government has rooked poor kids out of their choice in education, or how the welfare state has made the chance of growing up in a complete family unit a rarity for some people, or how uncommon the attaining of any kind of real world skill is. Not a valueless college degree. I mean a real skill. Anything that can be built off of. But you know what seems really oppressive to me, because he talked a lot about oppression. What really seems oppressive to me is those who don't act like animals, but still feel the need to carry the cross of those that do. You're not like them. And there's no way out of that swamp either once you jump into it. There's no way out of that swamp. It's just we're going to have to find some kind of commonality somewhere and just look at things like... So, you know, until a sports star speaks out on, you know, the rising trend of single motherhood, drugs and crime in inner cities, poor education, welfare dependence, I could care less about gimmicks and hashtags. And let's assume it isn't a gimmick for a moment. And that stands to mean that they really mean what they're saying and they believe what they're saying. Then that means that you just have to chalk that it's still chalked up to ignorance. And not ignorance of they don't have the ability to understand, but they haven't gone deep into the deep end of the pool. Not many have. So what's worse, deliberately ignoring the full picture to ingratiate half-truths and outright lies, or not knowing any of the details and still making token demonstrations on the sidelines of an NFL game? It's not about self-expression to me. Anybody can say whatever the hell they want. It's not a constitution that gives them that right to say it. It's being born on the earth a free person that gives them the right to say whatever the hell they want. But at the same time, everybody else has a right to say whatever the hell they want too. And one-sided conversations are just fucking killing everything. It's killing everything for me. And then what do you have? Ultimately, this is the final point I really have to say. Then what do you really have? You receive a little bit of backlash if you're Colin Kaepernick or anybody else. And then what? And then when the backlash comes, does that only go to prove how racist or not racist the country really is? And does that not also play into the self-fulfilling prophecy out of all of this stuff that has only gotten worse and worse and worse over the last 5 years or so? I mean, where do we go? There's no leveling out. There's no leveling out until people dry out a little bit. And I saw, and you know, I came across this soundbite from Burgess Owens that I thought was so fantastic, in my opinion. And I want to play this right here. It's a couple of minutes. He's talking to some woman. I don't know what her name is. She's a commentator, I think, for Fox. But I found the sound clip, and he's getting down to something that we've been talking about this show for a while. It's more so an ideological problem that we have with a country. And let's get around to this.
Well, this morning, 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick refusing to back down after sparking a firestorm of controversy, refusing to stand for the national anthem.
I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
Here to weigh in on this is former NFL player and Super Bowl champion Burgess Owens. Thanks for being with us, Burgess. Good to see you this morning.
Good morning, Ainsley. Looking forward to talking with you.
Well, thank you. Same with me. Tell me, what's your response to Colin Kaepernick, what he did?
Well, I think that America needs to, this is a wake-up call. This is more than NFL. We're at a point in our country, the freest country in the history of mankind, where I can run for president, do anything I want to, and yet we've failed to teach our kids, our young people, anything about our history. They're ignorant about our country, and they're totally unappreciative of the freedoms that have been gained by people who paid the price for them. What this young man doesn't understand is the very first martyr for freedom in our country was a black man. He doesn't understand that the Tuskegee Airmen, who hundreds of them died over the skies of Germany, so he can sit and be free and be ignorant as he wants to be today. We are at a point now where this is not it's not a racial crisis we're at. We're at a point, I think, at this point, is an ideology crisis. It's all about Marxism, atheism, and socialism versus a free American, the American way, Judeo-Christian values, which highlight meritocracy and looking at each other from inside and out. And we need to get back to teaching our young people about what our country is all about and appreciating the freedoms we have because of that.
When you used to stand for the national anthem and you played back in the 70s, what did it mean to you?
I remember distinctly standing there thinking about how blessed I was to be sitting and doing something I enjoyed doing and watching that and knowing that this country allowed me to do that. And let me just say this also, it's very important. If this young man wants to really be part of the answer, turn off BET. Black Entertainment Television is not a black-owned company. It's owned by liberal Democrats who for the last 15 years have firehosed my community with anti-white, anti-police, anti-American, anti-family liberal filth. So if you want to understand what the common denominator between his statements, Beyonce and Black Lives Matter, let's go to the white liberal bullies and cowards who've used our race as breeders for Democratic votes. If we do that and understand that they've had an opportunity for 15 years to give a positive message and they decided not to, and here we are today, black misery abound in a country that is the freest in the history of mankind.
Yeah, what he did is very divisive. He has lots of people that sit in those stands.
In either case, I think, Gypsy, what do you think, man? Did you hear Burgess Owens earlier on in the day?
I did not. What was his sentiment?
Oh shit, that wasn't coming through the...
Very, very low.
Length. Oh,
fuck. I didn't hear him. You know, I posted earlier that I supported Kaepernick, so I'm going to take the opposite side. You know, I get why people think he's kind of like a paper tiger. It's like, you know, he's got all these things going around him and his sports with his team and all this other stuff that's going on behind the scenes, and people think it's a distraction and people think he's not sincere. And my thing is, you know, I think time will tell. I think if he stops doing this or makes some other statement that has nothing to do with his original convictions, then he's full of shit. You know, if let's say I'm just throwing a number out, 5 years from now he's still doing it. He's done other things and it's evolved his personal social justice evolution, and he does more than just, because I think at the heart of it, you're right, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it pisses people off. And,
but
and
I'm not
people.
Even talking about him. I can care less about Colin Kaepernick. And to be honest, I really don't give a shit. It's more so the type of stance that's being taken again. What would have to change to get him to stand up again? What, seriously, can somebody say what needs to happen?
Who knows? That's between him, his mind, his convictions. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
This is the thing. It's all gimmicky bullshit to me. I don't see nobody saying anything real, and when somebody does say something real and when somebody does say something concrete about what they want to see, it's usually absolutely ridiculous demands.
Sometimes I don't disagree with you. I think there are definitely people that are on the far left that do ask for, you know, just wipe away all debt and shit like that, and I think it's irrational. But I think there are people that have some common sense suggestions, you know, just a blanketed statement of just saying, you know, more accountability in certain instances. And that could be across the board for a lot of different things. But, you know, Kaepernick specifically, I'm giving him a slow clap for now. But, you know, the jury's still out. I posted it. I spent this entire morning, and this is why I don't do political on Facebook. I spent the entire morning defending a point. I literally had four or five people going after me, telling me why my point was invalid and all these other reasons.
Oh, I'm
and
done with Facebook. With Facebook.
I try to be nice. One of my friends, she went right to name calling. I had to delete her comment because, you know, I want to bring some civility to the conversation. But, you know, it. I'm sure you have those moments where you just want to go through the screen and strangle someone because there's zero common sense from their point of view, because you want to find, we aren't always going to agree 100%, but you want to find that common ground where there is some level of agreement where we can move on to the next level. I hear your grievances, you hear mine, let's figure out a common ground and grow to the next level.
But see, what are those grievances, dude? Because I feel like whenever I hear the grievances, and
yeah.
I mean, very, very, very
clear,
all right. with the grievances that come out of the black community and people who are campaigning for social justice reform or whatever the hell it is, we hear what the grievances are.
Right.
But my problem is that, once again, I don't see that balanced coming down to the table and talking about what they're responsible for. What's going on in black communities is bad, dude.
I disagree. I mean, I saw a really amazing documentary about Chicago. I was watching Viceland on how all the press about Chicago is about the shootings. All the press is about how many guns, how many people are
dying.
The
murders are through the roof.
I don't disagree with you, but what is being covered at a zero rate are the in-community organizations that are having weekly, monthly, positive marches, rallies, and just community events.
Why do you think those aren't covered?
Well, they're obviously not covered because it sells more advertising.
If it bleeds,
space.
It leads.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
But this is the same media that is drumming all this up, that is linking up people like George Soros with $70 million to Black Lives Matter.
Right.
So if you really think that that social justice is the real goal here, then that right there contradicts the entire thing. Aside from the very real facts, the very real stuff. I mean, I've got stats here that I was going to bring up tonight that I didn't even want to touch because they're ugly.
Right.
They're true, but they're ugly. Like, we're talking about bona fide FBI, CDC.
Yeah.
All these stats between black on black, white on white, black on white crimes.
Right.
I mean, even down to here, black males are 58% more, most like are those 58% of those legally killed by private citizens in self-defense, 75% of those being by other blacks defending themselves.
Well, we've discussed this before, of course, because people live with generally the same people that look like them.
Right. But as far as the disproportionality,
but some people don't remember. I remember when the term black on black crime came about. This was, I don't know if you remember, Cross Colors, the clothing company, came out with, do you remember the song Jump?
Yeah.
With, okay. They were wearing, the kids were wearing Cross Colors. It was a movement in the 80s and 90s to talk about the violence within the African-American community. And it was very much like before hashtags were popular. It was a saying. It wasn't supposed to be an FBI stat. It was supposed to be a movement where it shows solidarity and unity within our own community to say, stop killing ourselves. You're my brother, you know, in this world. Just stop killing each other. So it was more of a call to action than, well, more black people are killing more other black people at a higher rate. Same with the actual physical hashtag Black Lives Matter. I had this conversation with someone on my timeline today about it. It has been so flip-flopped, co-opted, and tripped up in the media that I had someone actually argue with me and say, why isn't Black Lives Matter in Louisiana at the flood?
I've seen a lot of black people from Louisiana posting viral videos saying the same thing.
But why would they? They're a police organization. They fight against police brutality. That was the whole inception of the entire group. That doesn't even make sense. That's like asking a group that has nothing to do with what their primary goal is to... It makes no sense. It's asking the police department to fight fires. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
that's my point.
It's beside... Well, aside from that, getting back to this...
Right.
I don't see a lot... I understand that the history of saying black-on-black crime and all that, but the real numbers, man, they're very, very bad.
For a lot of different reasons. I mean... I think that...
Most of them have to do with government. Most of them.
I don't disagree with you. Dude, most African-Americans do not trust the government.
So then why do they keep voting for the biggest, slimiest government organization there is?
Because the Republicans have done an amazing job to make Democrats look good. I'm not exaggerating. Bush, Clinton was cool because... Listen, he went on Arsenio Hall, played his saxophone, and smoked weed. We thought he was a normal guy. We gave him a chance.
Yeah, he was a normal guy, all right, raping everybody he touched.
Yeah, but we didn't know that. No one knew that. No one knew that. We were talking about the golf course today. I had a member say, he said he ran into Bill Clinton. He said the first thing he thought about was a cigar going in the girls' hoo-ha.
Yeah.
You know?
He was a real busy guy. I mean, I don't know how he just raped so many people. I just, like, how did he have time to do anything else?
He's a smart man. My point is, I think because this country is Coke and Pepsi, and I think in the African American community we have been hoodwinked. I don't think we're not unaware of it, but you know, we get screwed all the time in this country. And I don't think there has been a response from the right. They do a very good job. Fox News, you know, for the past, actually post 9/11, has done a great job to alienate minorities, African Americans, very easily. So they've made it very easy to vote Democratic for the past 8 years.
Yeah, but you know, there's also that dichotomy, and I'm not a defender of Fox News. I don't watch it. I'm not a Republican. I don't care about this stuff. But there is a dichotomy there. A strict father and a coddling mother type of a dichotomy that's going on here between the right and the left, where you have somebody that speaks a little bit more frank, and you say, oh, that's racist, that's that and that, and you tend to run to somebody that goes, oh, no, baby, it's okay. There is an effect there that happens.
Totally agree with you. And I think it's more of it feels like more of a drunken, abusive father on the right and a coddling mother on the left who feeds you
rat poison before you go to bed.
Well, she's not doing that, but she's not giving you the discipline that you need. She's letting you stay out late. She's letting you miss homework assignments. She's letting you do a lot of shit. And you're thinking,
so you
oh,
believe
this is
that
cool.
There's a cultural... Because I do. I believe that 100% it is a cultural decay within the black community.
Since day one.
In a community, dude, that you know, we talk about music and movies. It is a beautiful culture.
Of course.
Okay, they had. Honestly, I think that they had more culture back in the days of slavery than they do in many cases right now.
Right after slavery, not during slavery. We weren't allowed to read and write then.
Well,
after that.
But as far as the human bonds that they had, and as far as even just the language that they had to create,
They had to for survival. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, there was a level of you know, again, right after slavery and the Great Migration out of the South, you know, there were a lot of black independent towns. And I actually saw a video earlier today that was really interesting. So this brother said that, he said, when people say, oh, you live in a black community, it's like, no, I don't live in a black community. I live in a community with black people that are owned by white businesses, essentially. When you talk about having a black a town or a Spanish town or whatever, or town, whatever, it is defined by who owns the businesses and the resources within that town, right? So post-slavery, There was some great migration outside of the South, and black towns were booming. There's a great story and a great book about the Black Wall Street out in, I think it was Nebraska, I believe it was, where they had like 20 banks, they had a couple airports, they had every fucking thing. KKK burned into the fucking ground. Families, children, everything. And that was commonplace. There was a great movie, Rosewood, burned the fucking town to the ground. So it's not like there wasn't a point in American history where African Americans were like, Let's do this.
But you see, that also outlines the really sad trade-off that happened in the 1930s, mm-hmm. when a lot of, when we were talking about before, that's when the greatest number of black voters started voting Democrat.
Right.
I mean, just statistically, because of the New Deal, because of the heat of the Depression. And
you wanted to believe,
but not only, it's not just that, because you can sell a hope and a dream, mm-hmm. but it's another thing when you have to take a chance on a hope and a dream offered by the party of the Ku Klux Klan that burned down. That was the height of racism.
I don't disagree with you, but as African Americans in this country, especially in the 30s, they didn't distinguish between white Republicans and white Democrats. For many African Americans, white folks are just white folks, you know.
What the fuck did I just do to my ear?
Is it the headphones?
Oh, something happened. I've got like a really bad inner ear.
Oh, I thought I was gonna say cut you.
No.
Sometimes that happens.
Shit.
But to
that point, actually, it's a little bit more synonymous with black Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a little bit more synonymous with Republicanism, big R Republicanism, just because that was the party of Lincoln. And you're talking, it's only 50 years, 60, 70 years, I should say,
mm-hmm.
since that first, oh, God, what the hell happened to my ear right now? That, this is the thing that just gets me, Gypsy. I look at people like Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, it's 7:48. The whole damn hour is gone now. I wanted to do other things, but it doesn't matter.
Well, no, there's no 3DM tonight, so you can go on.
There's not?
No.
Well, that's the thing that gets me.
Mm-hmm.
I am totally... The United States of America, to me, is the place for the hard conversations.
Right.
To me, at least in my childhood, it was the place where people were able to buck up and say things and be able to get points across and, you know, wince a little bit if it hurt and then just say, I'll give you that one. But this is what it costs me. This is what I feel and this is what it's actually happening. And then the other person goes, okay, I'll give you that one too. And then from there, there's a little something going on, and there's a little bit more of a well-rounded argument. My big thing here, especially with Black Lives Matter and everything else, is I don't see the balance in the argument. I see people demanding reparations and top-down
right.
action,
right.
but I don't see people saying, listen, even though this is not something we brought on ourselves,
right.
this is a problem we need to tackle as well. And I don't even see anybody vocalizing it. I think people don't even want to mention it because the first type of vocalization of, yes, that is a problem, black on black crime or this type of, you know, education and government sponsored this, government sponsored that, welfare dependency, all government, government, government. The second somebody admits it, I feel like it's going to make a snowball effect and people actually start thinking for themselves and that very thin veil of political nonsense that is placed between people that we just can't seem to look through
right.
will then dissipate a little bit.
I don't disagree with you. I think, and I could be wrong, but it feels like sometimes people outside the African American community don't think that we aren't aware of our own problems and that we haven't been trying to fix them, like the education, like the leadership problem in our community, you know, being dependent on welfare. And I think a lot of us, we're just tired, man.
Do you think that there's any,
and it's turned into anger. It just really has.
I understand, yeah. But here's the question we need to ask, because yeah. I really do believe for many of the, because if you look at whites living in poverty, mm-hmm. it's probably like 24 million or something, more than blacks, but mm-hmm. once again, disproportionate compared to 13% of the population.
Right, of course.
So when you look at these people of all races that are being sucked into the whirlpool, that is just being the riptide, they're being dragged down into the depths of the ocean of welfare dependency. Mm-hmm. With that comes a complete loss of will, work ethic, and drive. That is just something that happens. So Anthony would tell you.
Yeah.
How Anthony was caught up in that for a little while after he was collecting unemployment. And it was just, you know, it came.
It's easy.
It's very, very easy. Yeah. It's just something that it's.
And there's, especially in the African American community, there's a sentiment of, well, fuck it. This country used me. I'm going to use it.
Right.
And it's very easy to do that.
But where do we recover from that? That you can't get work ethic back, dude. We have to somehow try to cut our losses, not in the sense of cut people, but
just kill them.
But look toward it's more so. Okay, here he goes. It's more so looking toward the new generation. How do we get to the very next generation and start the rebirth there? Because everybody who has been sucked into the pit right now, yeah. very, very few are going to have the will to come out. That's why when we look at all of the, you talk about all the undocumented immigrants here, mm-hmm. and everybody talks about notions of deportation. Number one, I don't think deportation at any time was ever a feasible thing. You can't do it. What I do think is that you should get rid of the one-third of the prison population that's illegal immigrants and get rid of them. That's number one. Right. If they're in the prison system, get them the fuck out and send them
right,
home.
That's easy.
They've already shown you that they're not going to live in compliance with any kind of rational law.
Right.
Number two, everybody else that's working, I really don't believe that if you sent home 11 to 30 million people who are picking up any kind of job they can mm-hmm. in this country, that what Americans that are on welfare right now, any of the 94 million people who are completely out of the workforce mm-hmm. are going to just start washing dishes? Are you kidding me? They haven't been working for years. You don't get work ethic back because 30 million people were just sent home. It's just like that. That's the biggest thing there that people don't realize. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. We have been, a lance has been sent right through our soul. Mm. How do we get that back?
I don't know. I think, you know, I think it takes, and I hate to sound corny cliche, but I think it takes leadership. I think it takes brass balls to sell real estate. That's what I think. No, that's a bad, that's a Glenn Ross reference. I don't know. I really don't know, because this, you know, the Coke and Pepsi, the left and right have done a masterful job of social engineering all the different groups in this country to the point of a complete inner spiritual destitution, to the point where we are now, you know, we're fighting for crumbs, and people, you know, take crumbs as meals, and people are saying, oh, well, you know, you're having more than you should eat, and it's disgusting. Well, these people, you know, other people are getting, you know, rich and fat and just sitting there laughing all the way to the bank. I don't know, Frank. I really don't know. There's a part of me that believes that there's something in human evolution, that there is a separation between, you know, you and I, you know, are that much more evolved than our parents. You know, we grew up, you know, with them, and we understand their stories, and we share, you know, similar experiences. We can empathize through what they have gone through, but we are our own men, we are our own you know women out there, and so on and so forth. I believe that, you know, generation after us, I know we get on, you know, millennials a lot here, and you know, the kids that aren't even born yet, and saying that there's, but I think that there is a level of intelligence and consciousness that a large percentage of them, or maybe not a large, but a good enough percentage, enough percentage of them will be able to inspire more change. And I don't know. I think society as a whole will change. I think we'll be less reliant. I think there will be things that exist now, even on the level of automation, manufacturing, and everything, that'll change so much that certain problems will literally disappear because maybe that industry won't be there anymore.
I really think that the only way that that's going to happen is if we have a major ideological shift. And it really does go down to exactly what Burgess Owens was talking about. There's a real problem right now. The real problem is that we are being sucked into a very, very Marxist ideology. That's what's coming. Dude, hard work and ingenuity and capitalism and free market and free association, freedom in general, it is under attack. Faith is under attack. Even though I am not a person of any religious faith, I do feel I am spiritually enlightened in some kind of a sense. I hope in 50 years I'll be a little bit more enlightened.
Right, right.
But at the same time, I would rather live around people of faith than I would people that I'm looking around, these nihilist, atheist, empty leftist types that just want to... What did Marx say, that when the last capitalist is hanged, he'll be hanged with the rope that he spun? You know, it's just like, fuck all of this. That's what needs to be attacked. Because that's exactly what's driving all of this stuff. That's what's driving all of this. Politically, it trickles down to the inner cities. That is what all of this comes from. It's very, very dangerous. That's why we need a little bit more hard-nosed type of... Like I said before, you know, you weren't here for the opening of the show, but I said at the opening of the show, the thing that bothers me is not that people like Colin Kaepernick have the freedom of expression. Freedom of expression, that's great. Say whatever the hell you want to say. The problem is that... And here, I'll give you an example. This happened to me on Tumblr. Let me get my Tumblr up for a second. This happened to me on Sunday. Let's see. Might have to go just a... Come on, Dick. Gene Wilder, man.
I know, I'm so sad. Yeah, I mean, shit, he lived a full life. He was 83. Rob, R.O.B. McGee said...
But what about your grandfather's work, sir? My grandfather's work was doo-doo!
I love it.
Did you see the one I posted? You saw Blazing Saddles before, right?
Yeah. You know what? Let's talk about... shit. I have so many... Maybe it's good that we'll go overboard.
Take your time.
We'll go overboard. We're going to do some overtime tonight, guys. Let's bring up Blazing Saddles in a second, because I wanted to bring that up in particular. But...
Where the hell is it? You know, morons. Good common folk. Good people of the earth.
Hold on.
God.
Where the hell is it? All right, so I had said this on Saturday. I said, well, needless to say, as a Dallas Cowboy fan alone, I'm going to have an awfully fun time tearing into Colin Kaepernick's cheap political stunt. And I said, Monday, 7 p.m., can't come quick enough. This is the response I got.
Okay.
Listen to... Now, mind you, what I just said, one sentence.
Yeah.
I didn't give an opinion yet.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Now, from that, you might be able to surmise that I didn't agree with him.
Right,
but
right.
I didn't say anything yet.
Right.
So, this nincompoop, complete nincompoop...
Does this person follow you? Like, do they know...
I don't know, hope not, because they're pieces of shit. They say, so... You're so ellipsis. Here comes. Oh, I knew I was gonna get schooled when I saw the ellipsis. So ... You're a Cowboys fan in New York, which already means you're a wholly unlikable person. You're either a Texan transplant who persists with the Cowboys bullshit, or you grew up in the 90s as a Yankees, Lakers, Cowboy type who now pretends that they're an actually tortured sports fan because your big market teams aren't good. On top of that, you're calling it a cheap stunt despite being rather clear gesture. being a rather clear gesture intended to get coverage, which it has in large amounts, and additionally, an expression of freedom you might claim is great about America. So like, oh, I love that. So like, comma, what type of asshole are you? They asked. This was my response. Hey now, thanks for the examination. You're spot on about the Yankees Cowboy thing. I was in first. I was in.
At least he got part of it right.
Yeah, totally. I was in first grade when Troy and Emmett hit the scene, and then of course winning three Super Bowls shortly afterward was an easy sell to a young boy. Also, I think the Yankees had a little bit more to do with the fact that the Yanks were part of my mother's blood, and she taught me the game. She being a shortstop herself. My father's side being made up mostly of theater people who preferred award shows over sports, unless it was the Olympics. I don't feel tortured, though. Not at all. I just remember the 49ers beef when it was still strong. As for Kaepernick and his freedom of expression, I haven't given an opinion yet. What if it was well-reasoned? What I also haven't done is made any suggestion that he didn't or shouldn't have the right to express himself. So what? If you might have been able to surmise from my original post that I had a difference in opinion on the issue.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Of course, the piece of shit didn't say anything after that. But then, of course, a couple of, maybe about an hour afterwards, I got another person that messaged me privately to tell me to die of AIDS. So
slowly.
So there you go. There's your freedom of opinion right there. Good for that guy. But let's take Johnny Kimball's call real quick. What's going on, Johnny?
Not much. Fucking, you know what's going to happen? Kaepernick blows, right?
Dude, you look like Kaepernick.
I look like Kaepernick.
Yeah, you got his beard.
I can't say I've ever... is he black, half black? I don't know.
He's got he's got, I think, a white mom and a black dad or something like that. But you have his beard and his thin face. And
is Kaepernick a black last name somewhere?
I think he's Irish. Well, maybe his father's Irish.
Okay.
His mom's black or something.
All right, go ahead, Johnny.
The guy blows. He can't play. He's going to get cut anyways. He's been doing this for... This is the third game in the preseason. We all know this. He's been doing it the other two games. I don't know who caught on to it, why, or in what correlation it has to some other event. Probably something Hillary Clinton said about the alt-right. And now all of a sudden this is a story. It just... I mean, I don't want to say it sounds fishy, but it's like, okay, now we're going to pay attention to this and make it a national news story.
Well, listen, you said before, he has been playing well. I don't play a fantasy football, but I know that I know from playing by accident last year how terrible he was. And when you think about that, you know, there was so much hype about him about 3 years ago, and now he is where he is. I mean, you say fishy. Is it a little bit more advantageous for him to cause some kind of a stir? Maybe he'll get some kind of a I don't know.
Is he going to get cut and then say, "I got cut because I didn't stand for the national anthem"? Is that what he's going to do, and then he's going to get a spot on ABC or GMA or some bullshit like that?
He can write for Salon Magazine and Huffington Post.
I mean, it's like
I don't know.
It's just so clear, like he's grabbing the trees as he falls down the branch. Is what I see.
It could be.
Maybe he could totally believe the things he says, but now the attention on him. Did my video cut out?
No, yeah, it cut out a little bit because I added Max to the call.
What's up?
You okay?
Yeah, Max, what do you have to say?
I was just going to add that good God, did Denver dodge a bullet by not picking up Kaepernick? Because we were in negotiations with him for like a solid like 2 weeks. Trying to bring Kaepernick out to Denver. Peyton and Elway had visited him and everything like that. And yeah, his record's not that great. I can't help but think about Muhammad Ali. And, how Kaepernick, I think his fiance, or is it his wife at this point? She's a prominent BLM activist and also a converted Muslim Islamist. Or not, I don't know, Islamist might be a strong term.
Jesus Christ.
Well, she converted to Islam.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, that's what we
And Muhammad Ali, it's kind of a similar story for him. He was in the peak of his career. He had just won the Olympics. And then he, converts to Islam. And then, he really never fought a big fight again.
that true, Gypsy?
I mean, he had a couple.
Dude, he got all his titles stripped away, and then he fought and won them back.
Because of his religious.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Draft.
It was
dodging,
like
draft
after
dodging.
His like second so, marriage.
It was more so.
Yeah,
draft
I didn't
dodging.
Mean Islamist. Sorry, gadget dog.
Oh, it was okay.
It was more so him draft dodging the Vietnam because after he had converted to Islam, he didn't want to fight in the war because no one to paraphrase no Viet Cong ever called me a nigger.
Okay. Got so, you.
Yeah, and I'm totally with Muhammad on his anti-war.
But that's the thing that a lot of people take issue with is like Muhammad Ali and Martin Luther King, none of these people were popular. Everyone that like can't stand, you know, Black Lives Matter, all this social justice, these are the same. Most of the people today that disagree would have disagreed in the civil rights, but now that it's post, they're like, oh yeah, Martin Luther King and da 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 da. People in America have an obsession with after things are dead and gone, then they want to say, oh, that was the right thing. But while it's happening, people will be like, no, that's, you know, they're not with it. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not, people are like, oh, you're comparing Kaepernick to Muhammad Ali. No fucking way. No one's Muhammad Ali. But I think people should, you know, listen, I don't know what's in his heart. Maybe it is, like you said, you know, he's grasping branches as he's falling from the tree. That's a great point. He's got a shitty career. He's a shitty player. I get that. I get the football part of it. But if his wife is in BLM, you know, maybe he's waking up. And this is his first little step.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Gypsy, you know what? I would probably be a Black Lives Matter supporter if there was a little bit more, or if there was a lot more integrity with the thing. I'm not sitting here denying that there's a problem with policing.
Right.
We talk about laws. We talk about law enforcement, policy making, and how that translates on a domestic and a foreign
right.
level every night of the week.
Right.
So we're not denying that. The problem is that there's not, you know, if you study Martin Luther King Jr., there was a lot of he was out looking for reconciliation. He was talking about content of character. People are talking about color of the skin now.
Yeah, but
it's outside in, not inside out.
Yeah, but he also had a violent tone to him too that never gets covered.
No, I've seen those too. I've seen all of the quotes and in the speeches that were brought up. I know the gamut that he covered in his speeches, but in the most part, the biggest thing that propelled the civil rights debate from in my opinion is the coverage of people being hosed down
for sure,
showing, you know, it was sure. that it wasn't the shooting of police officers or burning and turning over cars and shit like that. It was actually saying, look, this is reality, this is what's happened, which is why Vietnam was so unpopular too, because we finally saw a war. We saw the bodies, we saw what was happening to our boys. You know, that's the problem here. We're being let, so, and this was my real big problem with Occupied Wall Street as well. When we went down there in 2011 to cover it, remember that?
Yeah, of course.
The biggest thing I said was, I was sitting around in Zuccotti Park, and I told you, I said, there's so much good energy here right now
yeah.
that is being wasted.
Yeah.
I feel like there's such good energy that is being steered by evil people.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't walk lock and step with every little move that BLM does. I don't. I'm with the sentiment. I'm with, obviously, you know, I'm not for, you know, police brutality and harassment of anyone. But you know, it's a bunch of young folks that are, you know, they're really emboldened, embodied, and also now being funded apparently. So it's a slippery slope, but unfortunately, what ends up happening is because it has been co-opted, as you guys have reported. Now, the people that don't know it's co-opted assume that, you know, a large percentage of the African American community feel the exact same way, and that's not true.
Well, I mean, I'd be the first person to support Black Lives Matter if they were all about the police brutality and not about, you know, they have some pretty strange demands and then they have some pretty strange heroes that they bring up in regards to it as well. I would love to be the first guy to get out there and say, hell yeah, let's, you know, fucking get these cops in jail. But for some reason they seem to pick these really awkward cases, and I want to point to all the really, really good ones where it's just like cops being so ridiculous and just trampling over people. And they don't pick those ones. Almost like how Trump doesn't take the cues that he's given that he could destroy, you know, the Democrat Party on.
Right, I hear you.
It's like a controlled opposition with all of that. I would love to be out there and say, fuck yeah, let's throw all these guys in jail that need to go there. Let's reform police. Let's, you know, get it into a new situation.
It's right. Very, very frustrating to see everybody miss the mark. It's very, very frustrating to say to belong to a crowd that knows what the impact of all of this governance and this social experimentation and this everything has rendered. You know what kind of terrible outcomes we've had, and to see finally. People are upset. I think this is a good catalyst for change. And then to see what the proposed solution is, and you're like, oh, it's more of the same. Why don't you see it?
Well, all I can think of is that that meme where it's the girl at Occupy Wall Street with the riot police in front of her. And the caption for her, it has an arrow pointing and says, wants more government. And the police is over there and it says, more government.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, no, it's perfect.
People are so close, too.
Let me ask you guys, who were these off-the-beat heroes or leaders that you guys were talking about? I was just curious. You were saying that they pick really, non-traditional heroes or figures or something?
Well, no, I would say the case down in Louisiana, you know, that picking people that have, like, rap sheets that are like 2 miles long it's usually like I can understand everybody, you know, when they get released out of jail, I believe they should have the right to have a gun. But then it's there's so many clear-cut cases. I'm trying to think of the guy that got is in Nevada and he was just beaten to death and there's video of it and nothing happened. You know, CopBlock has a lot of great stuff
Here, go do some searches if you want to find them. We just got GadgetDoc on there. Yeah. GadgetDoc, what's on your mind?
All right, so like one of the worst police departments out there, and this is from the Justice Department, is Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's just got one of the worst reputations. It's just really, really corrupt. So, yeah, we're all in favor of bad cops going away. But I want to kind of take this away from being about black-white, and it's more about socioeconomic stuff and also economic in as much as that there, if you are, for lack of a better term, ghettoized where there are no opportunities to move up, as in I'm a semi-skilled or a low-skilled worker, but I can't get up to the next level. Or I'm just a working class guy. What kind of animosity does that build? Because it's not just this isn't just left to just black people. It's for everybody that's in a working class type area. Okay?
Well, that's why I think it's the stupidest thing in the world to say, well, we got to get everybody to college. No. We need people to be able to have some skills. Just some skills so you can show up to a construction site. You can go take on manual labor. You can actually just do something with yourself and build off of that. You know, everybody thinks that putting somebody in a classroom for a couple of months, subsidizing it through the federal government, and then giving them a piece of paper with their name printed on it afterwards and say, go get a job? What the fuck is that?
I think part of it, Frank, and it's something to bring up when the college thing comes up, and I've read a little bit about it specifically in regards to community colleges, is that they become almost triage centers to an alternative to like homeless centers and benefit centers. Like an adult will enroll in a single class because they have a gym, a shower, a place like a library, things like that. They have I don't want to say kickbacks, but there's benefits to being a student that they can't gain elsewhere, and it's just kind of this void of help that these people aren't receiving. And I was just reading about it from someone who was like a some sort of director in a community college. I'll have to dig it up.
That's very
but
interesting.
But it was a super interesting take on it because I had never thought of it that way. And then it kind of made sense. Like, they have a little bit of something to grasp onto. And so the college is subsidizing, like, the more direct things, like, you know, any sort of welfare or something like that.
Yeah, professional yeah, students. I've
got to say, Kaepernick's done his job in bringing, you know, people that wouldn't talk about it into the fray. You know, I think making the racial element out of it, you know, maybe you want to subdivide it that way. But I think that the fact that it's going to take a couple more people over to the idea of, hey, are we going to talk about police brutality? Are we going to talk about how, you know, grandmas, they're walking, they're serving warrants on the wrong house. They got the wrong address.
Flashbanging children.
They're flashbanging children. They're pepper spraying grandmas. All the stuff's on film, and like, if they actually showed the brutality that's going on, people would just be,
but they are,
out
though.
Of their heads, and they wouldn't be able to tolerate it very long. Whenever the rubber hits the road of the violence of the state, people very quickly take their hands off it, and they're like, "Whoa, I don't like that." And that's the thing that's the thing about Black Lives Matter that bothers me. Instead of making about, hey, here's the rubber of the road, the police state in America affecting people, it's black people, just that. Instead of, this is the nature of a coercive monopoly.
Yeah.
I think they're just speaking from their personal experience.
I
was just going to say that I think they're just speaking from their personal experience, and I think the people are so frustrated and don't have that global viewpoint. Literally, from, you know, in these ghettos, they don't have that global viewpoint of saying, well, you know, there's strength in numbers. Let me reach out to other communities. Let me, you know, use Facebook and see what. I really don't think people are that. They are so enraged, and their circle and their view is literally where they're from. I mean, there are people that live in the city that are from the boroughs that have never been outside of New York City. I mean, in the 80s and 90s, there were people that didn't go to other boroughs. So my point is that I think idealistically, yes, you're right. And it seems very logical and it seems very simple. Like, well, how come we don't all just get together and all team up? But people are very, you know,
emotionally driven sometimes.
It's tough.
But the people that are driving the emotions in Black Lives Matter really get me a little bit upset, a lot upset, actually, when you think, when I see people screaming to white people to get to the back of the line, and so for this to so clearly be a supremacist movement for a lot of people, for a lot of people, and you can observe...
It's payback. I know what you mean.
This is the easiest time in history to be able to observe a lot of people at one time with social media.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you're just talking... You go a couple of decades back, and you're just assuming, or you're judging by a couple of headlines and some news reports, but now you're actually able to observe at least a Yankee Stadium's full worth of people within a couple of hours if you're just tracking hashtags and sentiments. I mean, it gets staggering. You know, and I think that's why depression is so rampant, too. Oh, because it's just... But, go ahead, Johnny.
That was Brian.
But yeah, but to bring it back to Gypsy's point, it's about perspective, okay? So let's... Because I've lived in crappy neighborhoods, okay? I've lived in really, really bad neighborhoods. And, you know, when I was working in a working-class job, I would hear my friends that were black talk about, well, this person got killed yesterday and this person got killed. So you keep hearing that drumbeat, and you know, you're talking about people that are just in the prime of their life, that's just entering, you know, adulthood, where they're 21, 20, so on and so forth, and they've been gunned down, whether it be from random acts of violence, whether it be because they were involved with the wrong thing. You know, that has a certain weight, and it has a perspective on you, and then you put back onto it that historical narrative on it. It's hard for people to not think, God damn, is it always going to be like this? you know, it's somebody else's fault. And to an extent, it may be somebody else's fault, because what don't we have? We don't have good jobs. We don't see a way out. Even if we go to college, you know, we still have to pay all that back. So that's almost a type of indentured servitude, where, you know, you may get a 2-year degree, you get all this money, but there's no job outside of the kangaroo gas station, you know. Or, oh my God, you have this degree, but you have no experience. Okay, so you see this funneling, and this again, I want to put this in the lower economic class, because we're also talking about black people like they're all economically depressed. We are not talking about black people like there was a neurosurgeon that was running for the president of the United States. We're not talking about black people that are billionaires. We're not talking about black people that live a normal middle class life like my neighbor. So to put them in a monolith like this is disingenuous too, and it just keeps shifting that paradigm. So there's a couple of things at play here. We have militarization of police brutality, but we also have the socioeconomic puzzle piece of it too, which leads into the militarization of the police, because you have the war on drugs. Because guess what? I don't feel I can get out without selling drugs or getting into some sort of other vice. So what happens? I get the police. My interaction with the police is somewhat violent. It keeps cycling around. Mm-hmm. So and true. This is the thing that's driving me nuts about this debate all the way around.
Hey,
there are too many people having too many interactions with the police, because there are too many laws and too many things that are illegal.
That's the biggest thing here, and that's the number one most frustrating thing with me from the beginning, when we were talking about this months and months, actually a couple of years ago. We were following the police state. Everybody, this community of people, following police state, following how many bullets DHS is stocking up on, the IRS, this alphabet agency, that alphabet agency, guns and bullets and rounds, all this shit. We're talking about the growing police state. We saw what happened during the Boston bombing. We saw how an entire metropolis was shut down because of a 17-year-old running around with pressure cookers. We saw this stuff and said, you know, this is some scary things. And now all of a sudden, police state has been hijacked. Like Brian said, I wish we can stop talking about this monolithic black problem and say, hey, listen, yeah, blacks are disproportionately affected with a lot of these things, because obviously they have felt the brunt of government intervention the hardest. But the police state is much, much deeper. And when you really look at what it entails, it just entails government. I mean, even when it goes down to the EPA, it doesn't matter if you're selling drugs or if you're cooking, if you're conducting a barbecue in the wrong way, somebody's going to show up to enforce a law. You know, it comes down to that. It doesn't matter if it's drugs or
selling cigarettes, you know, which are illegal, but you're selling cigarettes on the sidewalk. You know,
Lucy cigarettes. There you go. Eric Garner.
Mm-hmm.
He died. The man, the events that led to the man's death were perpetrated because the state didn't get their 7 cents of tax on the cigarette,
which is a product of crony capitalism to begin with,
which is not free market. This is a fucking scam, and that's what needs to be exposed. But you can't do that when you have to argue with somebody about race relations that are just completely artificially made to be so stressed out because of the media that props up all of this bullshit with government. You have to fight through that for years just to get around to shedding light on the real subject. That's the thing that kills me. Everything is a deflection away from the real problem. That is the most frustrating thing, which is why ignorance really is bliss. I wish I can go home and have my little my little Matrix moment every night where I'm eating the fake steak. I wish it. I wish it.
No,
man.
I hear you. Yeah, and the other little piece that very rarely gets talked about And I like Brian's point about talking about it's more socioeconomic, is the mental health of people in these communities, and you know, also, you know, poor white communities, just people that don't have the money, they can't do the day to day, that are banging their head trying to, you know, keep the lights on, pay their bills, make sure their kids are happy, and also try and get to the next level in society. I mean, people, you know, obviously, you know, soldiers are coming home all the time with PTSD, but these people in these communities, like you said, Brian, you're seeing your friends getting killed.
Absolutely.
Fucking killed. People are worried about, you know, oh, my friend bailed on me because we didn't go to the party last night. It's bullshit. I'm so sad. You know, whatever. Their fucking friend died. You know, there are people out there that have had their entire, you know, crew killed in either in front of them, or they know about it, they heard about it, whatever. And to have that beaten over your head over and over again, and then to have, you know, these videos that A, I think need to come out, but B, the way the media, going back to the media, plays them over and over on repeat, zero edit, seeing people. When I see, you know, that, you know, a black man getting shot and killed on television, no, I don't fucking know him, but I don't know him, but I know him. And by seeing that every day on 24 hours a day, it just puts it in your mind that you don't count as much, consciously and subconsciously. And that's an
issue. I do think that
Well, I would like to point out, like, I think it was 5-7 years ago in the libertarian movement, there was this big push that the government, when it is overreaching, it will harm marginalized groups first. And that was the classic words of that that Catholic priest in Nazi Germany. He said, first they came for the Jews. I wasn't a Jew, so I didn't do anything. And so on and so on and so on. So, you know, maybe it is that we have to say, yes, the black community is being targeted and we need to stand up for them first, or it's going to be us next. And I would like to point out, it is already us next. Everybody who doesn't have the money to buy a $1 million lawyer to defend themselves, anybody who's driving with a taillight out that has long hair or is not got shaven or anything like that, or has the wrong kind of sticker on the back of their car, is going to get targeted for some of this shit. So maybe it's I think we need to jump off of this one step and go to the next part. What disappoints me is that the BLM thing is kind of leaning towards, oh, we need, you know, federal oversight over the police departments, and that's
no.
That's the opposite direction of accountability.
No, this is
accountability
system.
Goes down.
Like you
bring
said,
it right to the people, not to this top level.
We're all under this system. Okay, this system of slavery, this time around, it's for all of us.
Exactly.
But the problem is that it was market tested. This type of federal chains you can't see.
It always has.
Type of slavery, it's been market tested on black communities.
We try to tell y'all motherfuckers.
Yeah, well,
we've been trying to tell y'all since the 80s and 90s, but y'all wouldn't listen. Now the shit's happening.
See, we got to stay.
Like 1980 Chicago, like when the feds were fucking up neighborhoods with crack. And then we're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, and you know what? It's been heroin. Like my cousin died from heroin overdose, you know, and it's because of... They're fucking bringing it in. The DEA is literally taking this stuff over the border. They're sending guns one direction and bringing the heroin and other hard shit over the other.
Yeah.
So.
But I want to kind of put a more positive spin real quick.
Please.
Because if you actually pay attention, and I didn't really realize this until I had a girlfriend come over from Ireland and point this out to me. Okay, this is how the blinders were up. She noticed, you know, when I watched the TV, it's always the black people that are doing charitable work in these neighborhoods and helping the economically depressed, doing the whether it be in Fayetteville, there's a guy that refurbishes bikes and gives them out to economically depressed people for Christmas, or be it the book bag share that they do where we put school supplies in and give it to, you know, economically depressed people. You know, when you in Baltimore, there was a lady by the name of B. Gaddy. What did she do? She ran a soup kitchen. She didn't care where you came from. She just wanted to make sure you had something good in your belly, something there. So that side of this equation never gets brought up in these conversations too. The actual interaction where there's positive actions being done, trying to lift people up, and it's being done by, you know, black people. Because whenever people talk about poor black people, they're always talking about crime and violence.
Oh,
they're not
talking. It
has to
be a sob story. Yeah.
Well, let me also say this. That is the saddest thing of all, even though we're looking for positive stuff. The saddest thing of all is that we do have a nation and a world full of well-meaning, great people who will stick their necks out, and they know what real community is.
Look at Louisiana. It came out in mass by private people.
It was amazing.
Government wants them to give them permission slips to fucking go out and rescue people from their homes.
I saw that.
They don't have the right insurance to do it.
The attempts to regulate people to save each other that in Louisiana, that is just sickening. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter to me if, you know, this person does this, that person does that, until we collectively shake off all of these fucking these political parties and everything else that are just it undermines everything. Who cares if the individual acts rightly on their own if they give their consent every 2 to 4 years to an agency that goes off with their permission and does terrible things?
To bring up Louisiana real quick, we need to bring this up.
Well, we have two minutes.
Today's the 11th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, and about this time, 11 years ago, that's when the 82nd Airborne first put down, at least the aviation units.
Interesting.
Again, we're 11 years to the day. We're talking about disproportionate treatment of black people and the response they're in, be it from the government or be it from their fellow Americans.
Well, we'll get there eventually. The first step is having these conversations and not letting people like Colin Kaepernick set the tone with vagaries and hashtag and gimmick type of statements. Fuck all that. We need to talk meat and potatoes, and I think that's what we've done tonight. Guys, thank you so much.
Do you
want
to do a last words thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, by all means. If anybody wants.
That's the best thing, because I have something.
Last words. Go ahead.
NFL. We're talking about Colin Kaepernick, who fucking did not stand up for a song, ultimately. This is what we're talking about. When we have guys that repeatedly beat women, beat their children, rape people. I don't give a shit if you do PEDs, but this is the hill that apparently the national community is going to stand on right now, is that, this guy didn't stand up, and the NFL is just this corrupt, awful organization, and they're probably going to come out and say something about this that makes themselves look good, and they really just love to embarrass themselves and look just,
listen,
they're grimy.
The NFL doesn't have to do a goddamn thing. First of all, I think it's ridiculous for anybody to put it on the NFL. If you harbor players that are chronically breaking the law, then obviously you have to do some stuff, do something with your rules and work alongside with the union to make sure that you're keeping criminals off of the field. Because you know what? It is a job, but it is entertainment, and they are role models. You got to have some kind of decorum. Number two, the NFL and Major League Baseball are very, very patriotic organizations, and they don't need to go out and talk about Colin Kaepernick acting as an individual when they stop to do the national anthem and they honor the military and all that. The NFL should just stay out of this and let Colin just sink or swim on his own. Seriously. They should just stay out of it and keep – they got enough problems of their own, Roger Goodell, in the last 5 years. They should just stay the fuck out of this.
Pierre Goodell.
Seriously.
It's the integrity of the game thing I dislike, but I'll get off. Have a good night.
Take care, brother. Be well. Max, what about you?
I want to end with a quote from Franz Oppenheimer in 1922. There are two fundamentally opposed means whereby man requiring sustenance is impelled to attain the necessary means which satisfy his desires. Those are work
and robbery, one's own labor, and the forcible appropriation of labor of others. I propose in the following discussion to call one's own labor and the equivalent exchange of one's own labor for the labor of others the economic means and for the satisfaction of needs, while the unrequited appropriation of the labor of others will be called political means. Mm. We need to transition from a political society where every single decision is voted on to an economic society where all of your life's decisions, you get to decide for yourself, and people can just interact the way they want to.
That's it. And the
thank you.
And thank you so much, Max. And that's where it really is. The market dictates the value of something. You know. And Brian, what do you think?
Very quickly, I just want to kind of say a rising tide lifts all ships. Let's take the blinders off. Let's listen to one another. Let's get away from the black and the white, you know, monolithic thing and see how we can improve the situation for all people, love and light.
You are the best, man. Thank you for the inspiration and thank you for the calm analysis. You're always one for that.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. What a great show. What a great show. We did 36 minutes of overtime on a Monday. On a Monday, I can definitely do 2 hours easily. So listen, tomorrow night, what we're going to get around to is writing tickets without computers. I want to talk to you a little bit about a post that I wrote on Sunday that has everything to do with a parking ticket I was given in New York City in June prior to us leaving for California to perform at VidCon. And my thoughts on writing tickets and how easy, how convenient it should be made for police officers and meter maids to steal from you. I think it should be the most inconvenient thing in the world. We'll get around to that. Tomorrow also, Living Human, the longest living human, says he's ready for death. A couple other things too I want to get around to. Kung Fu, once central to Hong Kong life, is now waning. That's of interest to me because I practice Kung Fu. Fu Jiao Pai, and it's sad to hear that in China, Kung Fu is kind of going by the wayside. It's becoming a little bit more of a goof because it's so much more. It's beautiful. But in either case, tomorrow we also, I believe we have Mark Borowitz, okay, the rabbi who was once a mobster. So we're going from mobster to rabbi tomorrow. I'll give you all the information on that tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have another great show for the Tuesday night edition of Quite Frankly, and you guys kick ass. Before we go, I want to very specially say thank you to all of the donors and all of the people who help support this show. It's very, very, very important to me. Michael Wells, Nikki M. Solis, love you, girl. Sean Collins, Andrew Dame, Mr. Matt, Moonlit Matt, and Laura Varis, our good boy Mintz, and Christian Pepis. Christian Pepis, he is our one $10 donor, so he's the only one that I'm actually doing Google Hangouts with every month to talk about the show. If you guys, please, if you see it fit, if you like the conversations we have here every night, and the conversations we're going to continue to mold. Every night I go home and I go, wow, that show was terrible. I have to do it better tomorrow. So tomorrow I will come out and try to do a better show. Maybe throw in some breaks. Make it a little bit less of a marathon for you guys. I'm always working on it. Took me 10 years to get here. But I want to do this more and more. And obviously, we're going to. So patreon.com/ quite frankly. And if you please see fit to just $1 a month, $5, there's a $10 package, and of course the 1776 package, of which there's only 20 there. I can't wait to sell those out because I want to write you all a letter every month. I want to become pen pals with you guys, like Jefferson and Adams, okay? So, quite frankly, see you guys tomorrow. Be good.